They put together a very explosive offensive group. You know, they've got a lot of explosive players at every position, receiver, tight end, running back, quarterback, you know, a big physical offensive line like John's always had. And I'd say, you know, defensively, they've taken young players in the secondary, corner at safety, and tried to get, you know, a very athletic linebacker group, you know, with some big guys inside as well. They got two good edge rushers. So, you know, it's a young team. You can see what they're trying to do. And they've certainly, you know, taken a lot of strides. They've added players, and the players that they had have gotten better. They, you know, put together a strong, talented group, and I'm sure they'll continue to get better. There's a lot of young players here and on this team.
If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help. With locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. That is Bill Belichick talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. It still doesn't roll off the tongue yet. I'm getting used to it. I want to say Oakland Raiders.
I know. They are the NFL's most itinerant franchise, for Oakland to LA, back to Oakland, now Vegas. But if there's going to be an NFL team in Vegas, I can't think of a better one than the Raiders. Like, this is better than an expansion team. This is like one of the greatest marriages of a team moving to me in the history of pro sports. It makes perfect sense.
Let's welcome in from the MMQB. It's Bert Breer who joins us now. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Chris, how about those Seminoles?
Oof. Oh, that was tough.
I even knew that was going to happen.
I wish my team were like your team, not even playing games right now. I would feel better about my team if they weren't playing than the fact that they played.
That one play, it was unlike anything I've ever seen.
It was special. It really was.
Oh, yeah,
that one
brutal
play was just, I mean,
yeah,
like I was, seven different things went wrong at once.
Oh,
it was,
my God.
It was
I mean, it's so bad. Even the coach tested positive for COVID. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah, we are definitely now, at minimum, the fourth best team in Florida behind UCF, Florida, and Miami. And I don't even know if we're better than USF. So, yeah, it's bad.
We just heard from Bill Belichick, Bert, talking about the young roster that the Raiders have right now and how they're building a good team. Is Gruden building a good team, and how do you think he's now adjusted to being back now in year three?
You know what? Like, I actually think there's like a real sign of growth in there. If you guys remember, like, his downfall in Tampa was that he didn't trust young players, and you saw it over time. Like, that roster got old. They kept taking chances on quarterbacks who were either done or Gruden thought he saw something in them that wasn't there. And, you know, I think what you're seeing, you know, in Oakland first and now in Vegas is that they have built a really strong young core and they're relying on those guys. You know, like, those guys are playing major snaps. I mean, this year, I don't know if you guys have followed this. Now, obviously, you know, Henry Ruggs isn't going to play today. But their two leaders in snaps at receiver are Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards, who are both rookies. That never would have happened with John Gruden in Tampa. And so, you know, I think you see real signs of growth. And the way that they've, you know, kind of turned the capital around from the Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack trades, I think shows you there's a real plan there. And now they've got a lot of good young players. You know, Ruggs and Edwards are two I mentioned, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram, you know, Damon Arnett, Max Crosby. There's just a lot of good young building blocks. And then, you know, some of the things that were left behind, like a really good offensive line, are still there.
We can talk about all that. And I agree with everything you said. I think Mike Mayock doing a good job there. Also, DeJuan Daniels, who used to work for the Patriots, is in that front office. I think they have a very astute front office along with Gruden and a great long-term plan. I just feel like the biggest question for the Raiders is the same one it's been for a couple of years. How good is Derek Carr, and how committed are they to him?
You know, I think the best comparison, I used this week, Beadle, this will sound familiar because they used it with the idea of signing Cam long-term. Mm-hmm. I think it's Alex Smith in Kansas City. And if you guys remember, like, once the Chiefs traded for Alex Smith, it was sort of like, okay, like, how long is he going to be there? And really what Alex Smith allowed the Chiefs to do was, we have somebody we really like at quarterback now, and this is going to buy us time, so we're not forced to overreach for anybody. And then when we really see someone we like, we're going to aggressively go and get him. And, you know, what did that do with the Chiefs? Well, you know, they built up the roster and built up the roster, and Alex Smith got them to the playoffs a bunch of times. And then they turned around and it's like, okay, like, now we've got a really good roster, so we can afford to go and spend a crap load of draft capital to go and get the quarterback we really like. And that, of course, wound up being Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's sort of what Derek Carr is for them. You know, like they do like him and they do think they can win with him. But, you know, and Mayock has been sort of upfront about this too. If you read what he said, and this is sort of the conversation internally there too, is, you know, like we're constantly have our radar up for anyone who could be an upgrade at that position because it's the most important position.
You just mentioned Patrick Mahomes. You wrote about not only Mahomes, but also Lamar Jackson this week. I feel as if the Raiders have sort of flown under the radar here through a couple of weeks, but do you feel they're the best team in football?
The Chiefs?
No, I was talking about the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens. I thought you said Raiders.
Yeah, I thought you said Raiders.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought I said Lamar Jackson, though, didn't I?
Okay. No, I think the Ravens, I think the Ravens are the most complete team in football right now. Just if you look at their roster, you know, the amount of good young players who are ascending on offense, guys like Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, and they've got a really good – they're really good at the lines of scrimmage, as they always are. On defense, guys like, you know, Marlon Humphrey, the rookie Patrick Queen, who's playing a lot. You know, so I think that they're the most complete team. The difference with Kansas City right now, and this is something people in New England have observed for the last 20 years, is it's almost like they've got that switch, you know, like where – like last week they didn't play great against the Chargers, and they sort of stumbled around for three quarters, but – you knew the whole time they were going to come, you know, and like whenever it happened, it was going to like, and that is such a, like a powerful thing for a football team to have. And I felt like that was, it almost felt like I was watching a Patriots game in the heyday of Brady, where you always knew no matter what Brady was going to make a run at, whether they were down 10, 14, whatever it is. And that's sort of what the Chiefs are now, you know, like where the roster, I think, still got its imperfections, but they are so good, you know, on offense and throwing the ball behind Patrick Mahomes that you always figure, like, even if there's a team that kind of can outflank them for three quarters, they're going to find a way to get themselves back in it at the end.
It wouldn't be one of these hits we do with you if I didn't ask you about sort of options for the Patriots in terms of upgrading their wide receiving core. Yeah. The latest name thrown out there this week by somebody who I would say is in the know and former Patriot Rob Ninkovich was Jarvis Landry. Is there any truth to that? I mean, is Jarvis Landry somebody that Andrew Berry would look at moving in Cleveland?
I think Andrew Berry's going to keep his options open. And, you know, I said this to you guys on Odell last week, I think, and I sort of feel the same way with Landry in that, you know, both those guys sort of, and they're not bad guys, but they go where the wind blows them. And so situations are bad, you know, they can kind of be an issue. If situations are good, then generally they're not going to be a problem. And so, you know, I think that that's something to watch if things were to come apart in Cleveland. They played really well last week. But I don't think that Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski or Paul DePodesta or any of those guys are married to anyone on the roster. And I think draft capital going forward is going to be important to them. And so, you know, they didn't shop Odell. And I'm not sure they're going to shop Jarvis Landry, but I think that they, because of the people in charge there now, have become one of those places where if you want help, it's one of those places you can go and ask for it and maybe you'll get the answer you want. So I think where they are right now, I don't think they move either of those guys. When we get to the end of October, closer to the trade deadline, if they're out of the race, I certainly think that they would listen.
Hey, Bert, through a few weeks now, what do you think of the Tampa Bay Bucs with Tom Brady as their quarterback? And what do you make of sort of the commentary on Rob Gronkowski from his head coach, Bruce Arians, this week?
It's sort of what I thought it would be, Beetle. Like, we've seen flashes of who they can be. You know, I thought that there was going to be a little bit of a, I guess, like, there was going to be some cultural things that they were going to have to work out there. Because, you know, I don't think that this was ever going to happen until there was actually some sort of result to go off on the field. But, you know, I always felt like because Brady came from such a buttoned up environment, I made the comment on the mid on your show. I think, you know, it's like going from the Marines to
Margaritaville
to Margaritaville. Right. And so like the way you come off of a loss in New England is one way. And the way you come off of a loss in Tampa is another. The way you deal with mistakes in New England is one way. The way you deal with mistakes in Tampa is another. And so I always thought that that was sort of coming in September, whenever they hit bumps in the road. And so they're working through that now. I can tell you this, having been there over the summer and having talked to people there, that's very much become Tom Brady's operation. And so I think the very positive like go get him Tom Brady that all those guys saw in August is probably maybe like may not even have been there the last 2 weeks. And so I think the dealing with that's going to be sort of an interesting element of where they go going forward. And on Gronk, guys, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I don't know if he was his full self the last time we saw him in the NFL. And it's really, really difficult to take a year off of pro football and then come back in your 30s and try to play again. We haven't seen very many people pull that off successfully. So, I don't know that anybody should be surprised that Gronk is struggling a little bit and getting back. And that really, honestly, like the blocking part of it would be the part that would be the easiest for him to get back.
Right. A lot of buzz this week on N'Keal Harry after his performance last week against Seattle, particularly on the final drive, 3 catches for 42 yards. I'm just curious what you're hearing around the league. You know, is it a situation here? My opinion personally, I like the progress, but I think we've really lowered the bar for him so that, you know, any progress is cause for celebration. Do people around the league still look at him and say, that's a guy that can develop into a number two, you know, or 1A type receiver? Are they seeing the same progress that you know, we're sort of being fed here in New England?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, Chris. I was looking at, I did some with Hollywood Brown over the weekend to preview the Monday game. And I, you know, ahead of that, I was like looking at his numbers and I'm like, wow. Like, you know, you kind of think about N'Keal Harry, that's his draft classmate, right? And you think about how many skins on the wall Hollywood Brown has now in Baltimore versus where N'Keal Harry is. And obviously there are different players in different situations and all of that. But, you know, I think one of the things that really helped, I think Hollywood there was there are college elements to what the Ravens do. And, you know, the truth is that like for a lot of these guys coming from the college game, like going into one of those offenses is a lot easier than it would be to try to fit into a traditional NFL offense. And so I think what we're seeing from Harry now is, you know, he went from an offense that was, I think, a little dated, right? And not very much like what you see at the college level, really struggling in year one in that. And now because the Patriots are trying to fit their personnel a little bit better and incorporate Cam, probably what N'Keal Harry is seeing now is stuff he's more familiar with that he saw in college that he may even have seen in high school. And so I think that there's reason for encouragement with his progress there. Although you're right. I mean, like you look at him versus some of the other guys he was drafted with and some of the guys in 2019 did, and you know, he still has a ways to go.
All right. Bert Breer from the MMQB on Twitter at Albert Breer. Thanks for the time as always, Bert.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bert Breer with us here on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. We've got more of your phone calls coming up. 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. You want to grab one? Do it now. We'll talk to you next on the Safety Insurance 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.